This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Monday, and it's going to be a huge show, a huge week for you on the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's just dive right in. First of all, I will try to talk briefly about the hurricane flooding going on right now. We'll address that. Medal of Honor Monday, about an hour from now, we have a little Jesse Was Right segment. Actually, I take that back. I just misspoke. We have a couple of those tonight. That's always a good time. This dock strike that is coming tomorrow is the biggest deal nobody's talking about. And I have an expert on all that stuff, supply chains, shipping, dock. Ross Kennedy is going to join us about a half hour from now. I don't usually say you need to hear something, but that's something you should probably stay around for. You should probably hear that about a half hour from now. All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show, and it is a big night. From John Kerry to Bill Gates, we're going to go after some commies tonight. I even have some voicemails. Some were great, some were hate, some were just a disaster. All that and more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. All right, first, let's talk about Helene. And more specifically, I want to talk about why I'm not going to talk that much about Helene tonight. For those who maybe are way outside of the know, maybe you were in the mountains for the weekend, had your phone off, all that stuff's fine, but this hurricane came through. Hurricane itself was bad. It was a Cat 3. That's a salty hurricane for sure. But as it made its way up through Tennessee, North Carolina, obviously hit Florida, it unleashed flooding that is just, honestly, the pictures, the videos, the things that I've spent the last 24 hours consuming, they're very hard to see when you see people going through hell. As you are listening to the sound of my voice right now, there are so many people missing. There are many people who are dead. The damage, it's awful. It's everything about it is completely awful. And it's another reminder. We hate these reminders because it makes us feel small. Well, I should say it reminds us how small we are, that for all the incredible power of mankind to create for himself cities and towns and spaces and areas, the power of nature is still such that it can wipe it all away if that's the way it goes. And it's scary to think about. I live in a hurricane area. We witnessed it with Hurricane Harvey, the flooding, the devastation. It's just you think you're fine and then your house is underwater. So first, let's just do this. We need to pray. When people are going through what they're going through right now, you don't have to wait till the show's over. Please don't. You need to pray. This is a time to pray. Every time's a time to pray, but this is a time to pray for these people. That is one. Two, as far as helping goes, I have some things that I'm looking at. Organizations, not mine, this won't be me. Organizations I'm looking at, and I'm going to try to find one. It may be a big one. It may be a small one. I'm going to try to find one. And if you have a heart to help and dig in, I will give that out. I am not giving any out right now because I need to explain something to you. I have worked in the, quote, nonprofit world. I worked there for a year. I was a director of development in the nonprofit world for a year. I know, Chris, it sounds very fancy. I was a very important person. Shut up. I've worked in that world. There are a bunch of great people in that world with good hearts for a good cause. You know, the preborns, the tunnel to towers. You know how you can tell, though? You don't have to take my word for those things. There are charity rating sites. These are independent sites. They go through the books of a charity. They go through what they have coming in, what they have going out, where it's going out, and they will rate the charity. Go look up preborns. Go look up Tunnel to Towers. Why are those the two ones that I scream about on my show? Because when you give there, it goes exactly where you want it to go. That is not the rule for charities and nonprofits. I remember like it was yesterday when Harvey had my entire area, Hurricane Harvey had my entire area underwater. I was fine. Don't worry about me. By the grace of God, we were fine. But people were devastated. And I remember crap that was pulled by the American Red Cross and other major organizations. Send us money to help the Harvey people. And if you followed the money, pennies on the dollar got to the Harvey people. This is a warning to you to be as shrewd as a snake. And here's why we're often not on a day like today, when we're devastated for these people and we want to help and they need our help and they need our prayers. Our emotions get in the way. My emotions, it's happened to me before. One of the more embarrassing stories of my life. I'm not huge on technology. I'm better now, believe it or not, than I was, but I think it was 5 or 10 years ago, I got a message. It was on social media. I was with my family. I was with my mom, my dad, my sister, my wife. We were at something. And I got a message on social media from someone I knew. This was a person I knew. And they told me that they were stranded in Africa and they need $10,000. It wasn't one of those Prince scams, but it was something along those lines. But it was a message from someone I knew. And I immediately sprung out of my chair. And I said, oh my gosh, he's in trouble. I got to go send this. And my own mother said, Jesse, that's a scam. Someone hacked their account and you're getting ready to send them money. And of course, after she said that, I thought, gosh, I'm such an idiot. Of course, that's a freaking scam. But I got emotional. It was a friend. It was someone I knew. Gosh, I got to help. That's what happens to us. That's what's happening to you, to me today. Help. I want you to help once you have verified the organization or if it's an individual. Verify, verify, verify. Don't go on Facebook and see a picture about how Muffy was swept away in the flood and for the low, low price of $29.95, you will help them get Muffy back. He's somewhere in the flood. You don't know that person. I know Muffy's cute. Be careful. Give. I'm asking you to give. I have given. I will give more, but give where you trust. Verify first. They will use your emotions against you to send your money places it shouldn't go. All right? Now, Maybe you're sitting here expecting me. I'm sure you've heard a ton of this today. Maybe you're sitting here expecting me to go off about the federal response or lack thereof right now. Where is FEMA? Where is the federal government? FEMA's here. They're not doing enough. Let me explain to you why I'm not going to do that. Two different reasons why I'm not going to do that. One, I long ago accepted that the federal government hates me. The federal government hates you. I'm not under any delusions that it's different than that. They despise us. That's one. I never expected FEMA, even if it could help, that they would help. And FEMA, because it's government, is a misorganized disaster anyway. And FEMA has goal number one on their website about equity. Did you think this was just Dome who spoke like this? It's on FEMA's website.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women.
Absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity.
I need to clarify, that's an old clip. That was not her response to this hurricane. That was her response to another hurricane. So whatever, but it doesn't matter. That's FEMA's stance too. I wasn't ever banking on FEMA. You know what I do bank on? And what I've been so inspired by for the last 24, 48 hours, the American people. I mentioned Hurricane Harvey. It touches my heart to this day. When I look back at Hurricane Harvey and I saw neighbors, people who didn't know each other, coming together to help, helping clear roads, helping get people out, giving money, giving water, giving food. The American people can and will step up for each other and help each other. And we must do that. We must do that. So I'm not going to stand on the dead bodies of Hurricane Helene and trash the government or whatever. We know what they are. I'm going to bank on the American people to get it right, and they will get it right. So bow your head, say a prayer, be very shrewd with your giving. But if you can, even if it's a case of water, whatever, if you can, find the right place and give. I will try to find one. It may even be a small one, but I will try to find one that I have verified that I trust, and I will give it to you. Okay? Okay. Also, pray. I know I already said that 10 times, but pray. There's a lot of people who need it right now, and there's a lot of people looking for a missing loved one who need a miracle. Say a prayer for them, okay? All right. Enough. Enough of that mushy stuff. Let's talk about me. No, we're not going to talk about me. Not really. We're going to talk. Remember that talk we did last week about leaders of Western civilization and why they despise it? Oh, I owe a debt of gratitude to a Mr. John Kerry for going ahead and reinforcing my point. We'll play that in a moment. If you don't remember that talk from last week, it's probably because your T levels are too low, you see. Testosterone is about a lot more than making babies. Testosterone is about your mind. And your mood. Do you have a clear mind? Are you focused? Are you energetic? Or are you down all the time? Kind of foggy. I'm forgetful. I turned 50 and I started forgetting things. You ever said stuff to yourself like that? It's not supposed to be that way. Your T levels are dropping because you're drinking estrogen. It's in our water now. We have to fight back against that naturally, in natural ways. And that's what a male vitality stack from Chalk, you know, Chalk, C-H-O-Q, they have the natural herbal supplements. One of the things they have is a male vitality stack. It'll raise your T levels by 20% in 90 days. You're going to feel like a new human being. 50-CHOQ-3000 is the number. You can call, you can text them. 50-CHOQ-3000. Tell them Jesse sent you. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Of course, Medal of Honor Monday coming up about 45 minutes from now. And remember, Ross Kennedy, shipping expert, supply chains, logistic expert. He's coming on in about 10 minutes. You probably need to sit around for this one. There's a huge strike coming, a port strike. I hear a lot of terrifying things about it. I want to know what's real, what's not. What should we prepare for? Here's a headline from CNBC. East Coast port strike. Truckers, rails, scramble to move billions in cargo before the ILA, that's the name of the union, it's a longshoreman unit, midnight shutdown. So midnight tonight. What do we need to be ready for? What's coming? Is this a big deal, small deal? Ross is going to tell us in about 10 minutes. Now, I talk a lot about the leaders of Western civilization, how they think and why they think that way. I'm going to play something for you. This is a little long. This is me from last week. The show was on the 26th, and this talk I did was very, very long. But John Kerry said something, came out over the weekend. Man alive, I owe him a thanks because, boy, did he prove the old oracle right. In case you were missing it, this is what I said last week. The nature of people who are in charge or in government, it generally is not a nature of service. I'm a servant of the people, even though they love using that language. The nature of people who walk into positions of power generally is, man, I'm a king, or at least I should be. And I should have more power than I do. And if I just had more power than I do now, then I can do this and that and this and that. And we have to understand that before we go further into this. Is going to come back to immigration and illegal immigration and the system. We have to understand that the people who took over Western civilization over time, they all shared that mentality. They don't have some love of the Constitution or rights or you or anything. These concepts are completely foreign to them. They do know that they are high society. And they know something else. They know that these limits on their power, they're not good. Something has to be done about it. That was me from the 26th. Allow me to introduce you. What, Chris? It's fine. Allow me to introduce you to one John Kerry. Hey, John, if you're listening, appreciate you for making my point.
But look, if people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick, and, has an agenda, and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, you know, hammer it out of existence. So what we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by hopefully having, winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change.
That's about 30 seconds of terror if you really, really listen to what he's saying there. I know you already heard the part that proves my point, that pesky First Amendment. But let's break this down a little bit more, shall we? John, describe the First Amendment. Now, keep in mind, before I play this, you being able to criticize your government, to say the president sucks, screw Joe Biden, that is not a small thing or just something that makes Twitter more fun. Being able to freely speak, have your own opinion, and criticize those in charge, people throughout history would have killed for that right. It's a sacred right, something you should wrap your arms around and protect at any cost. What's John Kerry and the rest of the elite think about it?
But look, if people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick, and, has an agenda, and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the...
These people are putting out this sick agenda, and it's disgusting! That First Amendment stands as what? Is it a precious right given to you by God? No! It's a major block! It's holding John back! But that's not the most revealing part of it. In fact, it's not even second. There are two other parts of this. The most revealing part actually comes next. So John Kerry, mad about this First Amendment, but if he could get around it, if he could find a way around it, hey, John, how would you handle this problem? Do you want to convince the people who disagree with you? Bring them over to your side? How would you describe the best way to handle all this information you don't like?
Ability to be able to just, hammer it out of existence. So
you want to what now, John? You want to hammer it? Interesting way they think about it, isn't it? If it wasn't for that annoying First Amendment holding them back, then they could show up at your door and hammer that out of existence. That's how they think. Did you think I was being dramatic last week when I was describing how they think? Oh, I'm not near done. We're actually going to talk to Ross Kennedy, and then we're going to break this thing down in even more detail. Golly, these people are horrifying. Before we do that, let's talk about IFCJ. So today, on top of all the other assassinations and things, Iran's supreme leader has been taken to a secure location, and Israel has begun making little raids into Lebanon. I don't know where all this is going. I don't know whether it's almost over or if it's beginning, but I know that there are a bunch of people in Israel right now who need some help. Life-saving aid, food boxes, emergency supplies. They need help. They need it now. If you are able to help, if you're able to, they're asking for $100. If you're able to help, the IFCJ is on the ground. They're not here. They're on the ground helping everywhere they can find it. If you want to help them, call 888-488-IFCJ. 888-488-IFCJ, or you can go give online to supportifcj.org. All right. Ross Kennedy is joining us. There's a big strike at the ports. Why should I care? Why should you care? I don't know. We'll find out next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted, but we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Please tell me Ross didn't... Did he choose this song? Oh, Ross didn't choose a song. Yeah, well, look, I'm really excited to talk to Ross, Fortis Analysis. Obviously, Ross joins us again. Everyone on my show knows Ross Kennedy. But Ross should have understood by now that you have to choose your song or you get the worst song we can find on short notice. So congratulations, Ross. You got introduced. I don't even know who that was, but man, it was terrible.
You say that as if I wasn't absolutely jamming out to it as we came in.
Okay, that's fair. All right, Ross, you know more than anyone else I've ever talked to in my life about supply chains, about all kinds of this stuff. And I don't understand how these things work. I'm told that there's a big longshoreman union and they're about to go on strike at midnight and that the entire world is going to implode when that happens. So I'm just going to hand over the world famous Jesse Kelly show to you to explain to all of us exactly what is happening. If I interrupt, it's because I'm stupid and confused. What's happening?
Well, so there has not been a work stoppage related to the International Longshoremen's Association. So there's actually two unions in the U.S. that represent the longshoremen, which are the individuals that are working at the ports to load and unload containers, cargo, move things around the port. It's kind of a complex web of activity and, you know, all the beehives, but the upshot is that there's a West Coast union, which had significant risk of a major labor stoppage in Los Angeles, Long Beach, Oakland, Seattle, Vancouver, et cetera, last year. This year, it is now anything that's U.S. East Coast or Gulf Coast ports, so everything from Houston all the way up to Maine. And there's about 45,000 longshoremen that are involved in this labor dispute. Comes down to two things primarily. Number one is pay. They're paid about $30,000 to $35,000 a year less than their counterparts on the West Coast. Obviously, have cost of living and all sorts of things. But these are different unions that are representing the interests of their members on the two coasts versus the left coast. The other issue is one of automation. There has been a huge push globally within major ports to have automated or semi-automated equipment that are largely able to handle the loading and unloading of containers with cranes, movement around on dock, stacking of containers. That obviously does away with a lot of jobs. It's an existential threat in their mind. The upshot to that is that there's, you know, significantly higher risk of extra fees, delays, things that go with a manned port versus an automated port. If you look at going back into, say, 2022, towards the tail end of a lot of the COVID supply chain issues that we were seeing in port, the top four or five highest ports in the world for these extra fees were U.S. ports that are more or less manned. When you look at some of the very large automated ports, where there really isn't a lot of labor on the dock to say any. It's all being run by the robots, and it's being run from a control room. That's Shanghai, that's Rotterdam, that's the port of Antwerp in Belgium. Some of these massive ports that move more volume than a lot of the ones we have in the U.S. were significantly reduced in terms of extra costs, extra fees, delays to the people that are moving, you know, the shippers that are moving cargo on and off the port. So they really do see this as this automation is going to kill their profession. They see themselves, at least the ILA, the East Coast and Gulf Coast longshoremen, see themselves as underpaid compared to the others. And there is some validity to that relative to the fact that a lot of these ports are more manual, labor intensive related to handling cargo in the docks and on the ships than the West Coast ports. So it's kind of a muddy mess. And now we're here at kind of D-Day, where if the talks between the Maritime Association that represents the ports and ship owners on the East Coast and in the Gulf don't come to an agreement with the 45,000 members of the ILA that are involved in this, then all the ports that are involved will shut down. So, yeah, it's an ugly situation. It's coming right ahead of the election. The longshoremen unions have historically been very Democrat. And this now comes on the back of Hurricane Helen doing hurricane things. So it's a lot of competing political priorities and timing here right ahead of the election.
Okay. Well, speaking with Ross Kennedy, Fortis Analysis, I have so many questions. I don't even know where to begin. But that was all actually pretty terrifying, Ross. I'd gotten myself horrified this morning thinking about the implications of shutting down the East Coast ports. And then I convinced myself when I texted you to come on, I convinced myself that Ross will come on and calm me down and tell me everything's going to work out fine. But somehow I'm twice as scared now as I was before I even asked the question. And I'm worried because it sounds not insurmountable at all. These things get worked out eventually in the end. But just doing some rough community college math in my head, underpaid by 35,000 a man, 45,000 union guys, That sounds like you're asking the ship owners to fork out a large check. They're simply not going to fork out at all. It sounds like they're a million miles away. What, am I missing something?
Roughly $2.8 billion apart right now on their negotiating stance. So they want a 77% pay increase that phases in over the next 5 years. You're talking about an $81,000 average salary or compensation, not including overtime and benefits for the longshoremen. So you take that times 45,000. And we would be looking at about across these ports that move 40% of the cargo in and out of the U.S., including especially a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables, a lot of energy products, automobiles, minerals are very heavy in the Gulf and East Coast ports versus the West Coast. You're talking about a $2.8 billion increase that would be eaten by the terminals, the ports. So you have a port, you have multiple terminals usually within the port that operate independently but under the port authority. And then you have the ship owners. So that $2.8 billion over the next 5 years would have to be spread fairly equally across taxpayers and fairly equally across the people at the bottom of the totem pole who pay every additional charge, which is the importer or the exporter.
Okay, let me ask this question. Sorry, Ross, I may end up... by the way, I should note, do I have you for an extra 10? It's fine if I didn't. We didn't talk about this before. I just have a lot of questions here. Do I have you for another segment? Okay, good. Because that leads me to this question, because I don't want it to be my last one. What kind of margins... I'm not one of these guys who goes after people's profits, but you mentioned $2.8 billion, or let's call it $3 billion. That doesn't sound like a ton of money when you're dealing with that many different ports and that much industry. I know it's a lot of money. I'm not thumbing my nose at $2.8 billion, but surely the profits are there to pay that, right? Are there not big margins?
Well, ship owners have lost, you know, in the aggregate, you know, what we call container ship, you know, owners had lost, you know, in the last 25 years prior to COVID, I think every year but two of the 25, they had lost money. COVID really reversed their fortunes because they were able to begin charging excessive surcharges that were within the law, but certainly not within the spirit. So you've had the Federal Maritime Commission doing a number of studies and surveys and assessing fines and penalties to the ocean carriers for these extra surcharges that are very much out of the scope and were kind of created on an ad hoc basis to avoid the law and charge more money back to the importer and exporter who ultimately pay the bill for everything involved with an ocean freight transaction. In this particular case, what you would see are container lines implementing very quickly additional surcharges for labor risk, for port operational slowdowns. So every dollar in known quantified risk, in this case $2.8 billion over the next 5 years, is they're going to find a way to recoup that using that as a justification 3 to 4 to 5 ways, but it won't be dollars equal. When you look at 2020 to 22, $13.8 billion in excess surcharges and fees were collected by the ports, terminals, and ocean carriers as a result of all of the supply chain challenges and logistics challenges that we had related to COVID. So if we say the longshoremen are responsible for 10% at most, this $2.8 billion increase rolls down to about $440 million a year that you could credibly say the longshoremen are responsible for those extra fees happening. The other 90% is a whole bunch of other factors. So what they're really arguing against is pay us $2.8 billion over the next 5 years and avoid automation, or anytime there's a risk or disruption or whatever, we're talking $1 billion to $5 billion, depending on the math you look at, hit to the U.S. economy every day the ports are shut down. So it's a hostage situation on the, you know, between two parties who neither of them in a lot of ways are really all that people are not going to be inclined to see their side of it. It's pay us a lot of extra money or we go on strike, have a net multi-billion-dollar impact to the U.S. economy, or we continue with the status quo. You give in to our demands and you're still going to end up paying us $2.8 billion over the next 5 years.
Mm. All right. I'm up against a break. We're going to come back with Ross Kennedy, Fortas Analysis. I have some questions about the impact to you, to me. What if this thing's going to go on for a bit, and it sounds like there's a chance it might. I want to know what we're in store for. Before we do that, so I get a lot of emails about self-defense. And look, I am not some defense expert. I'm not some freaking Navy SEAL or something like that. I know a bit about a bit. I will tell you personally what I do. I carry lethal because I am allowed to do so. I live in a state where I'm allowed to do so. I carry lethal. I carry my Springfield Hellcat Pro, and I carry non-lethal. I love having a non-lethal option. If there's some crazy homeless guy leaning on my car and won't move, I need to leave, not gonna blow his head off, right? I want a non-lethal option. Byrna is the non-lethal option. BYRNA. Maybe you're in a blue area. They won't allow you to have a gun. Everyone's allowed to have Byrna. Everybody. Legal in all 50 states. No permit needed. No nothing. It's tear gas balls or pepper balls or kinetic rounds. Those are just the hard plastic rounds. Get one. Whether you carry lethal or not, you need a Byrna pistol launcher. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the first hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We're 10 minutes away from Medal of Honor Monday. I just wanted to finish up my conversation with Ross Kennedy, Fortas Analysis, our shipping, logistics, supply chain guy. What are we in store for with this longshoreman union strike on the East Coast? All right, Ross, you just broke down all the gripes, if you will, of each side. I get all that. But me, the American consumer, you mentioned things like cars. Well, shoot, I got a 16-year-old who's going to need one soon. What if this thing goes on, if they don't work this out and they sound far apart, what are we, the consumer, in store for?
Well, if it's just a one-day shutdown, train falls off the tracks tomorrow, we get into a 24-hour shutdown, you're still talking about a week to get supply chains back on track. You know, it's a train's a really useful analogy here for a couple of reasons. Number one, once it comes to a dead stop, it takes an awful long time and power for it to break friction and get moving down the tracks again, both literally and metaphorically. The reason for that is that as containers stop, as trucks stop, the backlog continues. The ships still continue coming in. Ocean carriers are still rerouting and moving cargo to West Coast ports away from the East Coast. None of that just, you know, stops on a dime and everything goes back to normal. One of the other things that's not really been discussed here, everybody's focused on the fact that, you know, something like 30 ports to 35 ports in the U.S. on the Gulf Coast and East Coast would be impacted by this. The other challenge, though, is that the East Coast ports, particularly Norfolk, Savannah, and New York, are what we call intermodal gateways, meaning that they are the primary on dock for rail service with the Norfolk Southern and CSX railroads into Chicago, St. Louis, the Ohios, if Ohio were real, which is a favorite joke for everybody. Mm. So you have all of these inland points that are connected directly to, and the, you know, the lifeblood of them is the rail movements that comes out to and from these ports at the coasts. And so things that normally come inland, it doesn't just impact companies at the coast, consumers at the coast. It impacts any company that imports or exports that's based in Cleveland, Ohio, Columbus, Cincinnati, Chicago, Indianapolis, Louisville, Memphis, St. Louis, even Kansas City, all the way, you know, down the line. So it really impacts all supply chains in the eastern half of the U.S., not just what's happening at the coasts. And when you're looking at the fact that it's a lot of fruit, a lot of vegetables, juice, meat, most of those things, you know, by 60 to 75, almost 80% of a lot of fresh foodstuffs come in through these ports, because we source so much of that, not from Asia, but from South America and Central America, which primarily use the Gulf Coast and East Coast ports as their gateways into the U.S. So it is one day, not a big deal, but you'll still feel the impact in terms of port operations and slowdowns for a week. If the strike were to, say, drag on a week, you're talking months of recovery because of the backlogs that come into play. And coming up, you know, right ahead of Christmas shopping season, given that the U.S. consumer has a habit of running, you know, runs on store inventory on the shelves whenever there's a perceived shortage. When you're talking about we're coming into the season when the automakers are planning, you know, I've already begun and will aggressively continue ramping up rollout of the 2025 vehicles. A lot of these sectors that touch our daily lives would be looking at short-term to intermediate-term increased costs. And then the tail of that, of course, being everybody knowing people understand strikes, they don't understand mechanisms of supply chain, being able to take advantage of that to increase prices further as a way to generate more profits, which historically has been the behavior of all of the parties involved on the back end of a strike or a major supply chain disruption.
Whew. Ross, you are the man. We are all smarter now. Thank you so much, my brother, as always. That was extremely helpful. Thank you.
Very welcome, Jesse.
All right. Oh, man. Well, my palms are sweaty. I don't know about you. My palms are sweaty. No, we'll be fine. Look, we'll be fine in the end, but we might be in for a rocky road. I guess now we know. If the strike's a day, things are going to be screwed up for a week. If the strike's a week, things will be screwed up for months. I didn't want to ask him if the strike's a month long, because who knows? All right, it's Medal of Honor Monday. We're going to do Medal of Honor Monday next hour. I'll probably do a voicemail or two next hour. Someone is returning to politics, and I always told you they would. We are going to discuss that next hour. All that and so much more is still to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to any of those things, remember we talked at the beginning of the show about charities you can trust and charities you can't? I don't ever have to be nervous about sitting here telling you to go give what you can to Preborn. Preborn is the one setting up pro-life clinics in the highest abortion areas, giving free ultrasounds to women so they can hear that heartbeat and choose life. The women Preborn finds, they're the ones about to abort their babies. That baby's head is on the chopping block. That was a terrible way to put that, but you understand what I mean. Without Preborn stepping in, that baby's going to die. Preborn steps in and saves lives every single day. You know they save like 200 lives a day because of you. And go look them up. When you give to Preborn, it gets to the babies and the moms. $28 saves that life. $28 buys that ultrasound. Tonight's the night. It's tax deductible. Give them $28 million if you got it. I don't care. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. Medal of Honor Monday. Next.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.